Welcome to the latest episode in the Hope Athletics Orange and Blue podcast. My name is Alan Babbitt. I'm Sports Information Director here at Hope College. And this summer, we're taking some time to bring to you conversations and interviews and a lot of fun with the people of Hope Athletics, from student athletes to coaches and administrators, and take people behind the scenes of all the hard work that's done to make Hope Athletics both an educational opportunity, but a transformative place as well. And my guest today has been someone who's been transformed by Hope and now is giving back as well. And that's Angelique Gaddy McElveen. Angelique, it been a few years, but not too long since I remember you on the basketball court. And now you are the assistant athletic director of philanthropy, and looking forward to talking to you today. Welcome to the Orange and Blue podcast.
Thanks so much, Alan. Super stoked to be here.
Obviously, you know, you've taken on a new role this past January with joining the athletic department as assistant athletic director of philanthropy. Tell us about that role. It's a new role here for Hope Athletics, but one that there's a lot of excitement and a lot of promise about. Just tell us first about this role and the work that you have been doing and are will be doing here. It's now obviously coming up with the 2023-24 school year.
Yeah, you bet. So as you stated, this is a brand new role. So kind of took the first quarter of the semester to get to know what has happened in the past, how have you been fundraising for athletics, which altogether is a newer concept for the college in the last 5 to 6 years. But then additionally, what are coaches looking for? What are our ADs looking for? Of course, the student athletes, how can we continue to enhance their experience and more than just on the court, the field, the pool, right? So I did a lot of listening over those first few months, asking a lot of questions. But then also reflecting on what my experience was like, my teammates, other student athletes that I got to hang around with and are doing great things now. So just kind of like piggybacking on their experiences as well. So did a lot of listening and then also pulling in some efforts that we had already started over the last year. So when I wasn't in this role yet, last September, October of 22, we started corporate sponsorships for athletics. And that was headed by Keegan Pontius, our lacrosse coach, women's lacrosse coach. And so we work very closely together. But then also we have our Orange and Blue Fund, and that's headed by Dan Osterbahn. And so the three of us, we kind of all do a lot of things regarding annual giving, corporate sponsorships. And then I was brought on to lead those efforts to put more synergy behind the direction of them all together, kind of acting as one. And then I'll be working more so with some of those major gifts and kind of cultivating those relationships of how can we really pair, whether it's parents, alumni, fans, friends of the college, how can we pair what their passions are, their desires for student athletes, coaches, programming, and make that a real opportunity for those different areas on campus. So kind of taking the meaningful parts of people's experiences and what they love about sports, specifically Hope Athletics, and making it actualized here on campus. So we do a lot of amazing things. Sometimes we're too humble about it and we gotta tell folks, this is what we're doing here on campus. And I really think we are leading the charge, specifically in a lot of different areas, and we can kind of talk about those too. So, and of course with Division III, right? We don't have athletic scholarships. In Division III, we don't have like all the rah-rah of like traveling here and there and like having those like really strong contracts between colleges. So looking at new funding opportunities to elevate our athletics, elevate our programming, to continue to be a leader, not just in Division III, but in athletics overall in higher ed.
Obviously, you mentioned a couple of the teams you work with, you know, obviously athletics and the athletic department and some of the leadership there, as well as philanthropy and that group. But just, I guess, talk about what you've learned about the people in those roles and you know, the energy and the impact they're making for Hope and what makes it special. I guess we'll start with philanthropy. What have you learned from your, you know, brief time in that department in particular?
Yeah. So I'm in a unique position where I'm kind of like a bridge, almost a liaison. So my team in philanthropy, I actually got to do a couple of fun trips with individuals already there. So I went to a CASE conference for diverse leaders in philanthropy. So diversity and leadership in philanthropy, excuse me. And got to just understand what different functionalities of philanthropy and engagement looks like within HOPE. So we have those two different areas, philanthropy and engagement. They pair together really well. So we have some folks who are affinity-based, and I'm affinity-based. So my thing is athletics. Others would be culture and inclusive excellence. Another area is natural and applied sciences. So really trying to understand, or in campus ministries, right, missional work. So trying to understand, like, how do you approach that work with, whether it be your donors or other stakeholders or students even, and learning about their experiences, alumni, hearing about their experiences. I love the stories, and being able to hear about how my colleagues who have been doing this work much longer than I have and are excellent in what they do, hearing how they approach those stories and how they kind of transform those into the work of the college has been really eye-opening. I'm able to kind of like look back on my experience as a HOPE student and be like, okay, so I see how I was able to do this now. Yeah. Because we have some really, really generous donors, but then also some really awesome philanthropy officers who know how to connect those two pieces together. So that's definitely one thing that I've learned with my philanthropy team, is just understanding the different ways that you can go about this work, but then also really listening and connecting the wants of donors or of stakeholders to what we have to the college. So, and again, we're going through, we have Hope Forward, a lot of big initiatives coming, right? So, or that are happening. So we have Hope Forward. From a more insular conversation, like, we're going through office space change, right? So it's just like there's always something going on. So my first 6 months have been filled with a lot, and that's like a good a lot, right? So I'm taking in a lot, and not so much drinking from a water hose, but a lot of folks are really generous with their intellect and their passions and their stories to kind of bring me under their wings to kind of hit the road running. So that's the philanthropy side. Kind of taking it over to athletics, that, so I'm more familiar with that, right? So that's kind of a language that I can speak very more easily, and it's a department that I'm very familiar with, not just as a student athlete, but also professionally. So going back into athletics, but now being back home at Hope, it's been super special, right? Working with Scooney, Lindsay, Courtney Cust, and like the coaches, the coaching staff. And I talked about, we were able to like have a unique, kind of a unique workflow where coaches can do other things, and whether it's teaching, whether it's running a building. I think it's super unique that Keegan can also do corporate sponsorships with me, as a coach. So I can kind of pick her brain from a coaching perspective, like Coach Schmidt, right? Becky Schmidt for volleyball. She works with the Office of Possibilities. So understanding what does funding opportunities look like for that office, and how can we kind of pair those things together? So I will say for sure, athletics has synergy. They're locked in. Scooney at the helm, he's a wonderful leader. And if you ask many folks in that office, like, they're going to run through a wall for him, right? So he's able to really energize and unify that office. And so a really, really strong team over there. And I'm just blessed to be a part of it at this point.
Your experience, you talked about before you came into this role, you were in the college admissions team and worked over there and led the area recruiting efforts in the Chicagoland area. Obviously, coming off last year, we had a record incoming freshman class, a very strong freshman class. Take us through that experience. That's obviously was a new window. Obviously, you were once recruited to come to Hope, yeah, and now in that role being the recruiter. What did you learn from that team and that, you know, aspect of a vital part of Hope College?
That's one area. So for one, I moved out to Chicago. My then fiance, now husband, Dylan, he came with me and our dog Nike. So it felt like a big move. It was during the pandemic. And so we're going to a major city, and it was a lot. It was a big change. for both of us, but it was exciting. And I learned a lot personally and also professionally. So I'll kind of just start with the personal piece to begin with. I learned that I can do challenging things and I don't have to know the end result. I don't have to know the details of it, just to just jump in and go for it. And so that's what we did. And it was super exciting for both of us. But for me, I'm usually a low risk okay person. So I like to have all things like lined up, clocked up, ready to go. And you throw in a pandemic, you throw in a major city, and you throw in a very new role. And that was also a brand new role for admissions, that Chicago regional position. And so I just kind of jumped in and I learned that I can do challenging things. And then another personal piece that was really big for me was like really leaning into and knowing your support system. So whether that's family, friends, other communities that you're a part of, leaning in fully and then like just giving them the respect, right? So we learned that during the pandemic, we're all doing like Zoom happy hours and things like that. But I was really grateful to know how many individuals were thinking about me, praying for me, like just wanting, coming out to visit us in Chicago. And so really just understanding that support system and leaning all the way into it was huge for us. So those are some personal things I learned. And also wellness, just take care of yourself. So professionally, building a network out there. So as a regional rep, that was kind of like what you had to do to get to know other reps from different colleges, whether it's Ohio State or whether it's Loyola. Like you want to build relationships out there because we're all kind of going through a very similar process. So that was really nice, just like building a network. I was serving lots of different students, a very diverse population of students, and that excited me. I loved it. I feel like that's the world that God created, right? And so I was able to really be immersed in it in one location. So that was super special, but it also allowed me to be a servant leader like to the max. I'm working with students who have challenging home situations or school situations or just challenging mental states. A lot of different things going on for students as juniors and seniors in 2020, 2021. So really leaning into servant leadership. And so at times I'm not talking about admissions. I'm just bringing students food. And I just want them to know like, hey, just make sure that you eat tonight. I know that your parents are probably working late. Just life was very different then. And then other situations where let me go and print this off for you because you don't have a printer at home. And that's like an area where I could step in and really be a change maker for something small, but something very big, like getting an application in. So those are some things that professionally, I didn't think I would like really grab onto in that role, but I definitely did. And then of course, within admissions, the team, the travel, it's very, the busyness of the season is kind of cyclical. So it kind of like scales down and it ramps up. But overall, like the admissions team was great with, you know, building morale and cheering folks on. Things would always get like really hectic towards like decision day. So that's May 1. So like from like March to May 1, it was like a big, you know, like how are our numbers looking? And then as you mentioned, 2022, that was just an exciting year come March, where we're knowing that private liberal arts colleges are losing enrollment. We know that they're struggling with funding. We know that students are probably not even looking to colleges these days, yeah. Right? And we have a very different perspective, a very different trend happening for Hope. And students want to be here. They see the transformative experience that they can have. And so to be a part of that, to talk with families about it, to bring them to campus and show them all that we have. That was super rewarding for me. And I loved kind of like talking about, this is how I got here. And yeah. It may not be why you get here, but there's gonna be something else that you find on this campus that will really speak to you. So being able to see families, find those things when they get to campus, when they speak to different individuals, was very rewarding. And that was a big part of the job that I just loved. So again, we brought in a record class, it stretched the college, but in like the best ways, because again, we're trending in a very different direction than the rest of the nation.
Your Hope story. How did you know about Hope? You went to Grand Rapids Christian, not far away, but
South Christian. Yep.
South Christian. Yep. And, was Hope something that was on your radar? And then how did you find that Hope was a place that you wanted to invest in?
Dare I say that South Christian Calvin was on my radar first.
Yeah.
I think all of my teachers at the time went to Calvin. So not so much to attend there, but I just knew of Calvin College, now university, as an institution. One of my best friends who actually ended up coming to Hope with me, still my best friend to this day, she played soccer. Her older siblings went to Hope. So that was my familiarity with Hope is, okay, so my best friend's siblings went to Hope. We go to Holland for the beach. Sometimes we pass by downtown and I see this campus. But then once I got into high school, we started to do team camps, basketball team camps ran by Coach Mo and his staff over the summer. And so we would stay for 4 days in Dykstra Hall. We'd be in clusters. We'd get the full college experience for 4 days. We'd eat in Phelps dining hall, and then we'd go play at the Dow and at DeVos. And so I knew the facilities were spectacular. I knew that the college was beautiful. Still didn't know a whole lot about Hope. And so by the time I was really into my recruitment stage, so like junior year, I was looking at a lot of Division IIs and then some smaller Division Is. And so Hope was not really on my radar at all. I was looking to either stay close to home and go for a scholarship or like get out of state and you know, just kind of like spread my wings there. And so I ended up going 30 minutes away. But how I ended up getting there, so my dad like called me downstairs one day. He's like, hey, here's the deal. This coach keeps calling Mo. Okay, I know you know who he is. Like, let's just go up there. Let's check it out. Like, he seems like a sweet dude. You've loved the basketball camps. Like, let's just go up there and hey, you get to miss school for half a day. And I'm like, you're right, actually, let's do it. So I go and I schedule a visit. And it's the most memorable visit that I've ever been on. And I probably went on unofficial and official visits close to 10 at this point as a junior. So I got started pretty early. And Hope was my last visit that I went on as I just started my senior year. So it was probably September of my senior year in high school. And I remember meeting with Laura Bainbridge, who was my admissions rep. I remember meeting with John Yelding at the time. And then also Stace Jackson. Yeah. So I met with a handful of folks before I even got to athletics. And then I had my lunch. And on that lunch was Courtney Cust. So I remember Cust was on that lunch. And then I go and meet with Mo. And I, by the time we got there, I was like, hey, I really like this place. And so had never said that on the way home. I was telling my dad, like, yeah, this is speaking to me. I feel like I can truly be more than a basketball player here. And that was the first time I felt that at any campus I had been on. I got to speak with professors. I got to speak with, you know, like my admissions rep. And we talked about more than just basketball. And I felt like that was one of the first times I could see myself as a multifaceted college student.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was how I got to Hope. And then I started coming to their games. I remember I went on a visit, or I just came to a game that winter, and I met Mandy Traversa, and we ended up playing together for 4 years. And she was from Wheaton, so I met Mandy, and we were watching a game together, and then Liz Ellis was playing, and Courtney Cuz brought us into the locker room to show us around. Those are experiences, memories that probably wouldn't mean a whole lot to folks who are like, oh yeah, you went to the locker room. But to do that with current players, right before their game began, like they saw us out, they wanted to bring us in as recruits. That's just the Hope way. And I think that's what's so special about what we have going on here. Just the personal dynamics, the personal touch, you're seen from all different sides of you. And that really spoke to me. So I ended up coming and, you know, that was hard for me initially, because a lot of my family, a lot of my basketball community was expecting me to go for a scholarship. And I went Division III, and that was like surprising for a lot of folks. But I really trusted, I trusted my gut. I prayed a lot about it. I trusted my family. They were super supportive. And it allowed my family to be at pretty much every single game I played. So that's how I got to Hope, and why I got to Hope.
Did you know a career path when you started college?
Or
were you? I didn't know until my sophomore year. So, you know, and everybody's different. Some of them, everybody has it. You mentioned earlier being one who likes to have things lined up. So I wasn't sure if you were. Well, how did you find, you went from, obviously you went from, okay, I'm, this is the place for me, but then how do I want to, you know, take advantage of it to set up my future? When did you find, hey, you know what, you know, this is what I want to do for a career path and use my liberal arts education?
Yeah, spot on, Alan. I think that was also a big attraction to why I came to Hope as a liberal arts college. I didn't mention the faith piece at all, but that was also big on my visit when I went to chapel, knowing that like these students are choosing to come here. It's not forced on them. It's not mandated. So that was another piece, was that I could really live out my faith at Hope. So I knew that I wasn't deep into anything STEM. So I went like process of elimination, but I knew that if I came to Hope, then I could experience a lot of different areas of whether it be the humanities or the social sciences, and I could find something there. So knowing that I was a liberal arts college and I had time to really find my thing, that really spoke to me. I had really great advisors, and really great professors. So Amy Otis was my advisor. I was a Phelps Scholar, so I had a really robust team of advisors. So that was also John Yelding too, and Yoli Vega. So they kind of helped me understand like, okay, well, if you like this part of this book that we read, check out this course next semester, like things that specific. I ended up taking a psych course my freshman year, taught by Scott Vanderstoop. And long story short, he's like a best friend for me to this day. So, but he brought me in and let me know like, hey, I'm really big into athletics. Let me show you how I cultivated athletics into my professional life. Even though I'm, you know, deep into higher ed as a professor, as a dean at the time. So that was encouraging to know, like, I can do more than one thing. I can kind of find different parts of myself and build that professionally. So I started off undecided up until the end of my sophomore year. That's when Amy Otis was saying, hey, you got to declare at some point. And so I was on an intentional track for communication. And so I declared communication first, picked up Jason Dibble as an advisor, and he pulled me into their Honor Society Lambda Pi Eta. And so I was able to kind of do a deep dive into, I was a social chair. So that's like speaking to my soul. I didn't want to be anything tech, okay? I didn't want to be like the writer, but the social chair, like I can do that. So I just had really great folks in my corner that helped me find those pieces. And at that point, I also declared business in my like midway through my junior year. So I was taking some business classes and I recognized that I was actually on track to graduate early. I took some summer classes, you know, through like freshman and sophomore year, but I didn't come in with any credits to Hope. So again, and a testament to how awesome my advising was. But I ended up declaring business as a major. And by the time I wrapped up my junior year, I was interning at Meijer going into my senior year. And I met a really great guy there, and he was just like really encouraging me like, hey, if sports is where your heart is, like go chase it. Like don't do corporate just because this is like the way it's supposed to go. Like go chase athletics. And so at that point I knew that I wanted to apply for grad school, talked with a bunch of folks in our athletics department, in our kinesiology department, and MSU and Western kind of rose to the top and ended up applying to Western and going there. So that's kind of how I found my thing, how I found the area that I really wanted to be in. And pretty much after that, my entire senior year was dedicated to something in sports, whether it was in communication or business. So that was nice.
You mentioned chapel, and that's obviously a treasured part experience now where people are able to, thanks to live streaming, able to experience it. But I know from being there and to talking to former student athletes like you or current ones, there's just something unique about that. Take us, if you could, inside chapel. If there's somebody listening that's thinking about Hope, what makes chapel such a place that I don't even, maybe embracing isn't the right word, but there's just, it just is something that's fulfilling for this campus and particularly students. What is it about chapel that just has a special connection and is so impactful?
I'm so happy you brought this back around. One word that comes to mind is welcoming. It's extremely welcoming, no matter where you are in your faith. If you have been deep into your faith as a Christian your entire life, if you're questioning, or if you're just like, what's everyone talking about? Everyone keeps flocking to this building at 10:20. What's going on over there? So just very welcoming. So the way that worship is led, you're able to see students up on the stage, singing, praising, playing the drums, praying over service. The fact that it's student led, I think is really eye-opening. And I go back to the point again, that it's optional. Students choose to come to chapel. And the way that it's filled every single time just speaks to how welcoming it is. Because every student that's in there is not at the same place, right? Yeah. Every single staff member, professor that's in there is not at the same place. But the ecumenical faith that we have here at Hope, the welcoming spirit, the invitational spirit as well. And then just like the way that they hit on applicable messages, right? They're bite-sized, right? So they'll have to say like, we worship and then we have a message and we do all this in, what is it, Alan, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Just about 25 minutes, yeah. And you leave learning something, you leave being challenged, you leave thinking and reflecting on your life. And our chaplains, President Scogan, our senior reflections, no one's just talking at you. We're talking to your soul and we're talking to your heart, and we're talking to your mind, and we're talking to your body. It's very applicable messages that, again, no matter where you are in your faith, or if you're just exploring, or if you're not even of faith, it's still something that you can take away from our chapels. And I think that is such a secret sauce that we have at Hope. And it's meaningful. It's very meaningful. And that's why you have, you know, again, professors, that's why you have staff members, community members coming to chapel for that 20, 25 minute, deep dive into just something to come out with. And so the chapel that I went to, again, I remember it like it was yesterday on my visit. It was called a B chapel, B-E. And they just wanted you to just be in the presence of the Lord and just be still. And that was awesome. It was just awesome. And it sounds like you were a senior in high school visiting and like that's the chapel you went to. And like it wasn't super intense. It was just like very calming and it just resonated. So again, our chapels are elevated, definitely elevated, and welcoming is the word that comes to mind for those.
You mentioned a variety of people that have impacted you through your time at Hope, and you also mentioned your parents. And I wanted to give you a chance. Obviously, they helped introduce your faith and get you on that journey, but also just who you are as a person and that. Just talk about your parents and kind of what they mean to you. Probably not enough in this podcast, knowing your family, just in terms of, you know, how much they've loved you and supported you, but just talk about them and that their impact on you to be in the position you are now as assistant athletic director of philanthropy here at Hope.
Yeah. Thanks for this opportunity, Alan. We need a whole different episode to talk about their impact on my life, right? But I'm just extremely blessed. I'm extremely blessed. So my mom's father is a reverend, and my dad's mother grew up with a disability and she passed young. So I have like two very, like the matriarch and the patriarch, and my grandmother, my mom's side was a business owner, started her own daycare. So again, like in a Black community, very unique. for that to happen in the 60s and 70s. So I come from very strong lineage. I'm blessed by the lineage I come from. And my parents are busy folks. They are passionate about their professions, but they're even more passionate about their family. And so I don't know how, but they work full time and I'm playing AAU, and my sister also played AAU. So I'm the youngest of three. She also played AAU, and my brother was a football guy and track, and was like also like an artist at one point. And we're going to, I don't know if I should say this on the podcast, but we are Ohio State Buckeyes. I grew up in Michigan this way. It's fine. My dad went to Ohio State. So
we're hoping we embrace everyone. Buckeyes, okay, yeah. Wolverines, Spartans, you know, we're all good.
Appreciate it, Alan. So we drive to Ohio State, and I think about like the amount of time that my parents put into all of us, when they also just had super busy schedules. There was also times when my parents would bring in folks into their home, whether it was a friend of theirs, a friend of mine, my cousins, just very generous people. And so I have had the incredible opportunity to kind of come up and grow and learning all of that. So my parents instilled a lot of things in all of us as we kind of grew up. And so one of those was generosity and giving of your best. And so we would spend our Thanksgivings at DeVos Place and serving to the homeless. And that was something that we just did regularly. So that was one area. My dad would all the time, whether it was at church or out in the community, he wanted to be a father figure for those individuals who didn't have fathers active in their lives. And so I would always just be with him as he would like take folks out with us to go get ice cream or go get a meal. Just very generous people. So now they're both like wrapped into Hope. Like they love Hope. So that was kind of cool. Just as a student athlete, seeing how much my parents really resonated with the place that I chose to be for 4 years. And so they joined the Parents Council and other various boards and areas of influence as well. So they just love to be in and around Hope. I actually had to have, Alan, check this out, a safe word with my dad. I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but I had to have a word, and we established it when I was like a sophomore at Hope of like, hey, you're coming to campus too much. Like, I know I've got games and I know you're like on this parent council and everything, but I don't need to see you like once a month. And so we had the safe word, bananas. So just something nice and soft to not hurt his feelings. But I'm again, like extremely blessed. So this was also really cool. On my graduation day, my mom gave the baccalaureate speech, and I'm in chapel and I'm just like, got these tears in my eyes. Like, how cool is this? This is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And to be able to like take pictures with my mom in robes was just a really cool moment to have and to just hold as like a treasured memory. So my parents are, I think they're the best. I'm very blessed to have so many pieces of them in me, but also continuing to learn from how they live their lives today.
Was it either of them that, or was it just following your brother or sister in terms of putting a basketball in your hand? Like when did you realize, they talk about, I use a golf analogy of, you know, when you hit the right shot, it's a tuning fork. And I think that applies when you're playing a certain sport, like there's just one potentially that hits just a little bit differently. How did basketball became the game that you fully embraced and immersed yourself in?
I love this question because my parents are awful at basketball. Absolutely awful. Okay. I don't even think.
Don't listen. Just
right. Don't listen. Well, he's a football guy. I'll give him that. So my dad played football in college for a little bit, and my mom cheered in college. So they're both athletes. So they did give me the athleticism, but they did not know like about basketball. And so I think that was a blessing in disguise, because they just kind of pushed me into folks who knew basketball really well. And so that's kind of where I was able to that tuning fork. That's kind of when I knew like, this is really what I want to do. But before basketball, I played tennis and I thought that tennis was going to be my thing. I was like a big fan of Venus and Serena. And so, yeah, they were like young at the time with the beads. And so that was like, I was like, yeah, tennis is my thing. And then I picked up, then I started doing track. So, like the Hershey track meets, I loved those. But basketball just kind of spoke a different language to me. I love the physicality of it. I love the elegance of it. I love the teamwork dynamic. Just so many different elements of the game, like the sound of the basketball. I know that sounds like really cheesy, but it's just something about like when the rubber hits the hardwood, it just sounds so good. So I started getting serious about basketball around fourth, fifth grade. Like my older sister played AAU basketball, but she didn't stick with it for too long. So I, like basketball was around, but it wasn't like serious. So for our family, track and football was kind of the thing. So track for me and my brother, and then football for him. But I think I knew that I liked the game when I like got geared up for it. So I'm at the YMCA and I've got the white headband on, and I've got the Allen Iverson like armbands on, you know, and I like the swag of the game. So that really spoke to me, and I got to like change up my shoes every year. So something like that. But that's, I think the swag of the game like spoke to me, and that's when I got started. But then I started playing AAU in fifth grade. So that's when we started to really invest in and just like the skill of the game and the repetition of the game. So and then by the time I got into eighth, ninth grade, it wasn't all I did, because I was still a two-sport athlete. I did track as well. But I committed a lot of time to just knowing the game. So I watched a lot of film, which was like new for kids at my age. Like I'm like sitting at like my computer, like my family computer on YouTube, just watching really old basketball, Pistol Pete, right? And I think he's awesome. So one of my favorite point guards. So I'm just like watching the game. I just want to get to know the game, feel the game a bit more. And that's when I knew, like, okay, I'm gonna take this as far as I can go.
And reminder, I always say when, and I give you credit for dropping a Pistol Pete reference, no 3-point line for that man. And he still is like
Come on now.
scoring, and his ability to handle the basketball was just, yeah. If you haven't, anyone listening to this, haven't heard of him, Google him,
Pete
YouTube him.
Maravich.
You will not be disappointed. I could back Angelique on that. And now
Appreciate
you've
that.
come full circle. Now you're, you know, in an administrative role and leading and helping others kind of get the fullness of their experience. And you're also, as a woman in that role and as an African American in that role, obviously traditionally it's more looked like me in these roles in athletics, and that is changing, thankfully. We're still in a work in progress. But what does it mean to you to be someone that can be looked up to by, whether it's a fifth grader coming to a Hope camp that might run into you, or someone, a freshman in college that comes here and goes, "Hey, I want to do what she does," and then they have that connection is made, and you can help mentor them too. What's it mean to for you just to have that opportunity to, you know, be? I mean, you were fortunate with your folks to have good role models of what could be done, you know, professionally, but just in particularly in athletics.
It's humbling. It's extremely humbling. I don't take this lightly. I don't take the role lightly. This is so important for not just the athletic department, but for the college. Not just for the college, but the families and students, right? So I take this very seriously. It's humbling to be put in this position. But I also know, like, yeah, like it's time to start making this a bit more permeated, right? Women in general, when I chose this route, when I was at Hope, I didn't see a lot of women. Uniquely, when I applied to Western, their AD, Kathy Beauregard, is a Hope grad. And I thought that was just the coolest thing. Like, okay, there's like, you could, at the time in Michigan, not on one hand, you could count up to five of female ADs. And for one of them to be a Hope grad was like, okay, let's go, let's go. And so I also recognized that when I was in my master's program, I was the only Black woman. I recognized that when I, you know, began working in different areas in athletics, not a lot of people looked like me, even when I was officiating. So okay, we're going to pull it over for a second. Yeah. I was an official. I paid my dues after I graduated. So, and at the time in West Michigan or in the greater Grand Rapids area, there were three Black women, two, myself and Cam Sudbury went to Hope. And so she pulled me in. And then Jay Hartley was a basketball player at Michigan. So the three of us, and so just understanding that this isn't normal in athletics, but this is exciting, it's necessary, and it's good to continue to just diversify the landscape and also continue to be a role model to those young women, young men who are just aspiring to do something different. I mean, my dad's in sales and my mom's in nonprofit, right? And before that, she was in banking. So we're talking about like really known industries. It makes sense. And then when I'm talking, yeah, I'm looking to go into athletic administration, sport management. It's like, okay, so like how many jobs are in that that landscape? And so just continuing to open folks' eyes to all that's in athletics and sports in general, and the different avenues. And then also like the world is continuing to grow and grow even more. And there's, I mean, we're seeing already like the landscape changes year over year, right, Alan? So there's always new opportunities for why this industry is just so necessary. But I know that being at Hope, this is desired. The diversity is desired. I just love talking with Tim Schoonveld, and this is something he's passionate about and really wants to get right and really wants to be a leader in, right? So I'm just really humbled again to be in this position, to be a leader in this role for athletics philanthropy, and to be trusted with that. And I think there's going to be a lot of good that will come from this, not because of me, but because of the trust of the institution, the trust of our ADs in our department, and the desire and the hunger for, and the desire and hunger from our donors, our families, our student athletes.
It has been an absolute pleasure to talk with you, Angelique, today on the Hope Athletics Orange and Blue podcast. Gonna look exciting. 2024 coming up. Hard to believe summer flies by, but it does. We get rested and then we get ready to go. So thank you for joining me today. And
we'll have
another episode in a couple weeks. And but thanks everyone for listening to the Hope Athletics Orange and Blue podcast, and have a good rest of your summer, Angelique.